Abraham became the father of the physical people of God upon the earth, the Jews, and he became the father of the spiritual people of God upon the earth, the church. Now, if you're born again, you are truly a child of Abraham, and you're more Jewish than if your name were Goldstein or Cohen or whatever your name might be. You are more Jewish. You know why? Because physical lineage is temporary. Spiritual lineage is eternal. And the Bible teaches that if we have the faith of Abraham, we are the spiritual children of Abraham. So if you're physically Jewish, when you die, that's the end of your Jewishness. But if you're spiritually Jewish, when you die, you live forever. So Abraham was both the father of the physical people of God upon the earth, the Jews, and the spiritual people of God upon the earth, the church. Well, Abraham was worshiping one day, and he laid a sacrifice out. And the Bible says that as once he got his sacrifice prepared and began to worship, that God came. And the presence of God was so powerful that Abraham fell into a trance. And God walked among the pieces of the sacrifice, and he talked to Abraham, and what he said is recorded in verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt in the south, unto the great river, the river Euphrates in the north." God enters into covenant with Abraham that your descendants after you will dwell in this land called the Promised Land, called the Holy Land, called the Land of Israel. Now, we have a ruler on the planet right now. He's the president of Iran. And every time he gets within 10 feet of a microphone, he can't resist. He's got to jump up there and say, like a little kid, "Israel's going to be wiped off the map." Mr. Ahmadinejad, you've probably heard him say it. And every time he says it, I almost hold my sides in laughter. What a fool he's making out of himself, because it's not going to happen. Because God made a covenant. And when God makes a covenant, he does not break his covenant. The covenant is repeated in Exodus chapter number 6, verse 4. "I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens." So, the Abrahamic covenant is that Israel would dwell in the Holy Land forever. So, that's the first thing we know. He will confirm the Abrahamic covenant with many for 7 years. But who is this he that's going to confirm the covenant? Now, remember, he does three things. Let me quote the scripture for you. This is verse 27, chapter 9. He will, one, confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. He will cause the sacrifice and oblation to stop. And for the overspread of abominations, he makes it desolate. So the he does three things. He confirms the covenant. He stops the sacrifices. And he places a thing called the abomination of desolation. Now, there's a lot of rumors going around. And one of the hottest questions I get asked all the time is, could Tony Blair be the Antichrist? Could President Bush be the Antichrist? Could Javier Solano be the Antichrist? Now I'm getting, could Barack Obama be the Antichrist? And I do not claim to know tonight who the Antichrist. I was pretty sure that Hillary could not be, however, because the Bible calls the Antichrist the man of sin. Anyway. The Antichrist, the he is going to do three things. Now, we're going to find out that the Antichrist, according to Scripture, is going to do all three. All you have to do is go two chapters later in the Bible to Daniel chapter number 11. And in Daniel chapter 11, from verse 21 to verse 45, records the career of the Antichrist. The entire book of Daniel 11 is devoted to battles between the king of the south, the king of the north. There are many kings of the south, many kings of the north through history. But the final king of the north, we can prove, is the Antichrist. We pick it up in Daniel chapter 11, verse 30. "For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant." You know what the covenant is, right? Right? It's the Abrahamic covenant that that land belongs to Israel. You realize that's the biggest dispute in the world right now? It's whether Israel should have a state there. And Hamas says no. Hezbollah says no. The Islamic Brotherhood says no. Iran says no. But God said yes, so that's what's going to happen. Well, anyway, he will have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. Right now, the leaders of Israel are willing to forsake the promise. They already have agreed to establish a Palestinian state on area that's part of the covenant land. And so already the Antichrist is probably engaged, although we don't know who he is yet. He's probably already one of the agents in having intelligence with those that forsake the... He has peace talks. He has negotiations with those that forsake the Holy Covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice. Now, you do understand that you can't take away something that doesn't exist. So Israel is going to resume animal sacrifices. They will take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place this thing called the abomination of desolation. And such as do wickedly against the covenant, we're in the final 7 years now, shall he, the Antichrist, corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Do you understand that the career of the Antichrist and the false prophet runs concurrently with the career of the two witnesses? When the Antichrist is revealed 3.5 years before Armageddon at the time of the abomination of desolation, that's not all that's going to happen. The Bible says my two witnesses will come and prophesy for 1,260 days. So Satan's going to trot out his two witnesses, Antichrist and false prophet. They're going to control the political system of the world. They're going to control the money. They're going to control the news media. And all the two witnesses of God are going to have is the power of God. That's all they're going to have. It's going to be bad. But aren't you glad for that scripture that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So they're going to stop the sacrifice. Now, also, so we've got two things the Antichrist does. You can prove this is the Antichrist in Daniel 11, 30 through 32. You can prove it's the Antichrist. And it says here that he and his partners will stop the sacrifice and place the abomination of desolation. Now, what's two of the things the Antichrist has to do, according to Daniel 9:27? That he that confirms the covenant is going to take away the daily sacrifice and place the abomination of desolation. And then verse number 22 tells us that this last king of the north, it says, and with arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. So the Antichrist is the prince of the covenant. Now, one more time, just to get this before we leave this point. When it says he shall confirm the covenant, the pronoun is he. Did they teach you in school that when you have a masculine pronoun, it refers to the last mentioned masculine noun? You don't remember, do you? Okay. Anyway, that's what they're supposed to teach you. Okay. If you go back into verse number 26, the last mentioned masculine noun, it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary. Who destroyed the city and sanctuary? The Romans, right? 70 AD. The Romans destroyed the city and the sanctuary. The people of the prince that shall come. Now, what entity I taught you this morning will the Antichrist preside over? A revived Holy Roman Empire. The Antichrist is going to be the prince that shall come. And he will confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. And in the middle of the 7 years, he'll cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop. And for the overspread of abominations, he makes it desolate. So the he that does all these things is the Antichrist. All right. Now, the next question is, what is this thing called the confirmation of the covenant? The confirmation of the covenant is when the Antichrist and the international community confirm Israel's right to live in the Holy Land. Since we've proven that he is the Antichrist, and he will end up ruling the one world governmental system of the end time, it says he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. What's the international community trying to do right now with the present peace talks, with the Annapolis Conference? The quartet is made up of the whole world governmental system, and they've actually appointed Tony Blair to lead the effort to confirm the covenant, because the confirmation of the covenant is confirming Israel's right to exist. Today, the world community does not recognize Israel's present borders. They say that Israel has got to withdraw from land taken in 1967, and they're negotiating those borders even as we speak. So this issue in this prophecy is what's dominating the news of our day right now. I'm telling you, God's got his nose in all of our business. He's got his hand in everything that's going on. So the confirmation of the covenant is when the Antichrist and the world governmental system, the world community, whatever you want to call it, confirms Israel's right to exist and reaches an agreement on final borders. President Bush says, the first thing we have to do is determine the final borders of Israel. That's one of the core values that was the goal of the Annapolis Conference. Furthermore, the confirmation will also settle the status of Jerusalem, and in particular the Temple Mount, and it will place the Temple Mount under a sharing arrangement. Now, you know right now there are two holy places on the Temple Mount, the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. But the Bible prophesies the building of a temple soon. So when you're not going to get a peace deal until you settle the status of Jerusalem. I remember back in the year 2000 when President Clinton had Ehud Barak and Yasser Arafat at Camp David trying to get them to a peace deal. They finally reached the Temple Mount issue, and they never could agree because Arafat said, I can't give it up. I got to have it. And the Jews said, that's the place of our first temple, our second temple. It's the place where God chose to put his name. We simply can't give it away. And President Clinton, being the practical guy he was, said, well, just share it. What's the big deal? Just share it. And when I read that in the newspaper, I knew I had just read what the Bible says will happen. I'm going to get ready to read the scripture for you where the Bible says the Temple Mount is going to be placed under a sharing arrangement like President Clinton suggested in the year 2000 and like all the chief negotiators believe must happen as the only possible solution to this intractable problem. Furthermore, the sharing arrangement is going to be supervised by the international community. Either it will be the United Nations or some kind of an international force. Well, because what happened was, when Bill Clinton suggested that, Arafat said, are you kidding? Jews and Arabs live on the same 35 acres. We'll kill each other. He had a point. And Barak said, we can do it. We can place it under UN supervision. We can actually allow the only guns to be on the Temple Mount to be under the control of the international community. Okay, where does the Bible say all this? Revelation chapter number 11, verse number 1 and 2. Now, the great tribulation begins in chapter 10. You'll see there in chapter number 10, there's an angel standing 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the water, with his hand raised to heaven and declares by him that liveth forever and ever that delay shall be no longer. Now, here in the King James Version, it says that time shall be no more. But in the margin, it'll say that delay shall be no longer. We know that time is going to go on because time is going to go on for another 1,000 years. So we know the proper translation is that delay shall be no longer. So he stands and he declares that delay shall be no longer. And immediately you move into chapter 11, and John is told, matter of fact, let's just read it, Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed likened to a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and then the worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave it out, and don't measure it, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot, how long? 42 months. So he said to John, go ahead and measure the temple. That means that there's going to be a temple standing. Can you measure a temple if there isn't any? Obviously not. So that means there will be a temple standing. And any time you see the term 42 months, every time I know of in Scripture, it's referring to the final 42 months between the abomination of desolation and the second coming of Christ and the battle of Armageddon. So This is referring to the way the Temple Mount will look. And the Lord told John, measure the temple, but do not measure the outer court of the temple, because it's going to be under Gentile control. I read an article in the Biblical Archaeological Review back a few years ago, written by a man in Israel by the name of Asher Kaufman. He was a professor at Hebrew University. Finally, I went to his home to see him, and I asked him about his views. And what he said was that he believes the true temple site is north of the Dome of the Rock. There's a large plaza area there, and that the Jews could build there, and they would not have to disturb the Dome of the Rock. He told me personally in his living room, he said, we don't have to disturb the Dome of the Rock because it's in the area called the Outer Court. And the Outer Court was also referred to as the Court of the Gentiles. I'm sitting there listening to this, and I know that scripture. Measure the temple, don't measure the Outer Court. Whoa! Because the Outer Court's going to be crammed down with Gentiles. My hair stood on end. So that's the way it's going to be concluded. They're going to get an agreement on the Temple Mount. They may do it yet this year. Okay, you want to get in on a little secret? Two weeks before Annapolis meeting, Condoleezza Rice met with three chief rabbis of Israel. They have the Ashkenazi chief rabbi and the Sephardic chief rabbi, and then they have a chief rabbi over each city. The chief rabbi of Haifa was invited to be with the two chief rabbis of Israel, and they met with Condoleezza Rice. And it was recorded, it was reported in an article. And the reason they brought the chief rabbi of Haifa is because he's considered the most expert person in Israel about the Temple Mount. And he contends that the Jews have to worship on the Temple Mount and that they must have a synagogue there. Now, don't tell anybody I told you this, but synagogue is a code name for temple. But if they said temple, it would be World War III. So he said synagogue, a house of worship. And Condoleezza Rice said to him, and I have the article, she said, I understand why you feel that way, Rabbi. I am the daughter of a priest, and I have read the Bible. I know what it says. Now, 1 week later, those three rabbis came to the White House to meet President Bush. Condoleezza Rice arranged for them to meet President Bush before the Annapolis meeting because President Bush knew he had to deal with the Temple Mount and he had to try to figure out what was doable. And so the chief rabbi of Haifa was in our White House 2 weeks before Annapolis saying, we've got to have a synagogue and we've got to be on the Temple Mount worshiping. And they will be because the scripture says it. They're going to be there and they're going to be worshiping. So that's part of what's going to happen. Furthermore, they're going to be offering sacrifices because that's what Jewish people do. If you don't believe Jesus was your sacrifice, then you need to still be offering sacrifices. And about, what's it been now, 2 months ago, on April the 6th, the first court-approved animal sacrifice was offered in Jerusalem. The newly reborn Sanhedrin felt like they needed to re-educate the people of Israel. And so they offered what was called a rehearsal Passover sacrifice. And they actually invited people to come there and learn how to do it. Well, the animal rights activists got all upset when they heard this was going to happen. There's an organization in Israel called Let the Animals Live. And so they went to court, and the Jerusalem magistrate court ruled that it was okay for them to offer the sacrifice because they had a licensed butcher. They were going to take the meat and give it to the poor. And there's lambs being killed all over Israel every day. You can buy lamb in the restaurants. And so they received court approval to offer an animal sacrifice. Now, the animal rights activists were so much against it that they went back to court the very day it was going to be held. It was on a Sunday. And they got another injunction, and the police came out and stopped them from offering the sacrifice. They hauled them back to court, and the court again ruled in their favor. They went back that afternoon and did the sacrifice. I saw the picture. And they offered the first court-approved sacrifice. When they get their temple built, they're going to start offering animal sacrifices again. But it's going to cause a problem. Can you imagine? Let's go to the dedication of the temple. You get there, and everybody who's anybody will be there. And even some of us nobodies are going to be there, because I'm going to be there. I've made up my mind I will be on site. Hopefully, I will be broadcasting from the Temple Mount that day. But CNN will be there, Reuters will be there, Fox will be there, everybody's going to be there. And can you imagine this crowd? I'm talking about the Pope, I'm sure, will be there. I'm sure that all the heads of state from around the world, it is going to be a 2,000-year event, the first temple in 2,000 years. And they're all going to get there, and everybody's seated, and all of a sudden, the Jewish Hallelujah chorus is singing, and the trumpets are playing, and in comes young rabbis leading a calf. And Jane Fonda is going to look at her neighbor and say, are they getting ready to do what I think they're going to do? She'll say, I think so. They're going to flip the calf up on the brazen altar, and the priest is going to raise the knife and quickly come down, and CNN zooms in and Fox zooms in, and the blood starts gurgling from the jugular vein of the animal, and that priest is standing there with the brazen basin collecting the blood. And by 6 o'clock that night, the picketers are everywhere. Animals have rights too. Barbarism in the 21st century. And on and on and on it's going to go. And the Antichrist fax lines are going to melt that evening. You're supposed to be an environmentalist. You're supposed to be an animal rights activist. And we elected you, and you got to put a stop to this. And he's going to say, oh, what in the world am I going to do? Well, in the meantime, though, something else very interesting has been happening. The Jewish people believe they'll know who their Messiah is because he's going to bring peace to Israel and he's going to rebuild their temple. And so the rumor mills will be busy speculating over whether this man that's done all this is the Messiah. And by then he will not have fessed up yet, but he'll call a press conference for the Temple Mount the next day. And all of the news services will be there. And he'll probably say something like this: ladies and gentlemen, you know that the sacrifice of these animals has caused quite a furor. Now, these were temporarily necessary. However, you know there have been rumors that because I have brought peace to Israel and because I have enabled the building of the temple, that perhaps I am the Messiah. I feel like the time has come for me to let you know it is true. I am the Jewish Messiah. I'm also the Christian Christ. I'm also the Muslim 12th Imam. I'm also the Buddhist 5th Buddha. I am all those, and I have come to lead the world into permanent peace. Therefore, we're not going to need these sacrifices anymore now that I am here. The Bible says that the Antichrist will stand on the temple of God. As a matter of fact, let's just go to that scripture right now. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Click 2 ahead for me, please, up there. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, there was a big dispute over the coming of the Lord. And many people were teaching that Jesus was coming any moment. And the Apostle Paul knew it was not true and knew it was going to cause disillusionment eventually. And so he wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, I would not have you to be moved by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as though the day of Christ is at hand. For that day shall not come, this is verse 3, except two things happen. There come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the Antichrist is going to stand. The man of sin is going to be revealed the day he stands. Now, he's going to participate in the confirmation of the covenant 3.5 years later, but we probably won't know for sure yet who he is. For instance, right now there are several world leaders that are participating in trying to confirm the covenant right now. But we're still not sure who he is. But when that man stands on the Temple Mount saying, I'm the ultimate authority there, why is he going to do that? Because the world community is going to be the supervisor over the international agreement, over the sharing arrangement. So he's going to say, I'm in charge here. I can say whether they offer sacrifices or whether they don't. And he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And when he, this is the Apostle Paul described the abomination of desolation. He described the Antichrist opposing and exalting himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, saying, I am the ultimate authority on this planet. Now, there's a lot more happening then. We don't have time to talk about it tonight because I want to hurry to a close. But one of the things they're talking about in the present peace process, which is ongoing, is how do we solve the Temple Mount problem? How do we share Jerusalem? How do Muslims and Jews worship together? That's one of the key issues. Now, according to all reports, they're in final status negotiations, and they are presently negotiating the status of Jerusalem. And Ehud Olmert is desperately trying to bring these talks to fruition because his government is being threatened, and he believes if he can get a deal done, they'll forget about the $500,000 that was handed to him in unmarked envelopes and say, what's $500,000 when you're going to save the world? So he thinks that he can ride this storm out as long as he can make peace. Also, the Bible tells us that when this event called the Abomination of Desolation happens, that it will trigger the Great Tribulation. By the way, you know the Great Tribulation lasts 3.5 years, right? Don't look at me like that. I know all the books say 7 years, except the main book, and that's the Bible. And 5 times it says the Great Tribulation will last 3.5 years. Now, if you need 7 years of Great Tribulation, marry the wrong woman, you'll get it. All right. Or the wrong man. But Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those which live in Judea flee. Do you see this picture? Go to the next one, please. You see this picture right up here? Back up there, right there. You see that wall? Israel is building a wall all the way from the northern border to the southern border to separate Judea from Israel. Jesus knew that was going to happen. In Matthew 24, he said, if you live out there in Judea, and 200,000 Jews do live out there right now, but this is the territory that the United Nations and President Bush says they've got to give back to Israel, even though it makes up the ancient promised land. And if you live out there when this deal is struck, when you see that Antichrist stand on that Temple Mount saying, I'm the ultimate authority, Jesus said, you better run for your life because then shall be great tribulation such as never has been before, nor ever again shall be. Does anybody hear what I'm telling you? We are walking through the prophecies of the Bible tonight, now. I did not come up here from Texas to tell you that the end time is coming someday. I came here to tell you the end time has arrived. You and I are in it right now, work while it's day, because the night is coming really fast when nobody's going to be able to work. Okay, now I know I've thrown a lot of material at you tonight, but let me conclude with this. According to the scripture, the confirmation of the covenant, which has to include two elements, will start the final 7 years. Now, the confirmation of the covenant has to settle the final borders of the nation of Israel, which they're working on right now. And it has to settle the status of Jerusalem, and in particular the Temple Mount, putting it under a sharing arrangement and opening the door for the building of the Jewish temple. If we get a deal yet this year, and President Bush said we would get a deal by the end of 2008 settling all core issues, if that happens, it appears to me that we will see the confirmation of the covenant this year. So, the confirmation of the covenant begins the final 7 years. Next slide, please. And when will it take place? Hit the button for me again, please. President Bush says that it's going to happen in 2008. Would you like to hear him say that? Listen as President Bush speaks to us.
In order for there to be lasting peace, President Abbas and Prime Minister Olmert have to come together and make tough choices. And I'm convinced they will. And I believe it's possible Not only possible, I believe it's going to happen, that there will be a signed peace treaty by the time I leave office. That's what I believe.
Boy, isn't it going to be fun if he's right? You guys aren't with me yet, quite. If you knew the final 7 years was going to start before President Bush leaves office, that means the next president is probably going to, if he serves two terms, he'll be president at the Battle of Armageddon. And guess what? I'm going to be on every radio station I can get on. I'm going to be publishing in Time magazine. One of my goals in life is to be the Antichrist's worst migraine headache. Because guess what? We already know everything he's going to do before he knows what he's going to do. And we're going to tell everybody. Man, if this stuff don't motivate you, your motor's not working. All right. Give us our next slide. So, what must we do? Here's what Jesus said. Just before he talked about the abomination of desolation in verse 15 of Matthew 24, he talked about something else in verse 14. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom. What kingdom? We're preaching the kingdom of God's getting ready to come. We're just about done with the governments of this world because they don't know what they're doing anyway. We're fixing to clean out the White House. We're fixing to overthrow the government of Russia, of all of Europe. All those governments are coming down. The stone's going to hit them on the feet, and the whole thing is coming down. And we're going to crown Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And of the increase of His government, there shall be no end. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Oh, I thank God for the World Wide Web. Right now, we're having about 360,000 hits a month. I'll prophesy that before too long, we'll be having 360,000 visits per day. Guess what we're going to shoot for when we hit 360,000 a day? Well, we're going to shoot for 1 million a day. Drudge Report has it. We got a lot more important stuff to talk about than Matt Drudge does. Do you understand? You're not in something little. You're in the kingdom of God if you've been born again and you're getting ready to rule the world. You're going to have to get rid of that inferiority complex because you're now a son of God and you've got to get a son mentality. You're a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's preparing you to rule and reign as kings and priests with Him, and of the increase of His government, there shall be no end. What are we doing here tonight? We're doing two things. We're in training for rulership, and we're here to invite others to participate. You say, how are we in training? Well, you know, Jesus gave us the principles. Once Jesus takes over, there will not be one war for 1,000 years. What a wonderful world that will be. I mean, what are they going to put in the newspapers? There will not be one war. They won't even make implements of war anymore. The Bible says they'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and men will learn war no more. All the military academies, Annapolis is going out of business. Because it's going to be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If I wasn't in this, I'd get in. I promise you, you wouldn't keep me out. And the only reason people aren't in it is because they don't know about it. I'm convinced. Now, let me make sure before I leave you that you understand how you're in training. Jesus came here to teach us the principles of peace. The Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. If you ever get a chance to be merciful to someone, please do it. You say, well, if they'll beg me, I'll forgive them. No. Jesus forgave them before they even asked, didn't he? On the cross, didn't he? I carry mercy with me in 5-gallon buckets in a trial. I don't even put it on with a brush. I use a trial. I just smear it on people if they need it. You know why? Because I may need it someday. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, Jesus taught us these principles, and this is the way we're supposed to live now in order to be qualified to rule then. He taught us, if someone curses you, what do you do in return? You bless them, right? So if someone at work cusses you out, what do? Well, you file a grievance against them at the union, right? Don't talk about our union. You're in union country. I know where I am. I've preached many revivals up in this country. But the Bible says if they curse you, you're to bless them. If they spot